I never knew that Batman was a member of one of my favorite neighborhoods. But earlier this week, there he was, hosting a special on PBS about a man who lived in his own magical neighborhood. Michael Keaton, the actor who played Batman in the late 80s and early 90s, spent this week honoring the 50th anniversary of the national broadcast of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That neighborhood, filmed in Pittsburgh, is where Michael got his start. So it was fun watching him narrate the world Mr. Rogers created. Together, we remembered all the guest stars who appeared on the show, including the amazing musicians who showed kids that the cello was pretty neat. We reconnected with Lady Elaine Fairchild, Queen Sarah Saturday, and Prince Tuesday by taking a trolley into the land of make-believe. And we wondered if we could ever look as cool as Mr. Rogers did in those brightly colored cardigan sweaters. My favorite moment from that PBS special was when Mr. Rogers was learning how to play head, shoulders, knees, and toes. That game, if you've never played it before, is exactly what it sounds like. You touch your head, your shoulders, your knees, and then your toes. It's the perfect game to teach toddlers about where their different body parts are. And it's also a fun game to watch adults with their sore knees, bad backs, and lack of flexibility try to play too. Now, Mr. Rogers in this segment couldn't keep up. He kept messing up the order. And when his guests did something new, Mr. Rogers made a ton of mistakes. Now, the director wanted to refilm the scene so that Mr. Rogers could get the game right. But Mr. Rogers said no. He wanted the kids to see him get the game wrong. He wanted everyone to watch him make mistakes, but also see him keep trying. Mr. Rogers did what so many of us don't do. Mr. Rogers wanted everyone to see him own his mistakes. Which, if you think about it, is really hard. Because who wants to show their mistakes? We usually don't mind telling other people what they got wrong, but not many of us enjoy admitting when we messed up. I don't know many kids who brag about doing poorly on a test. And when we shrink our spouse's favorite sweater in the dryer, we sometimes hide it and hope they forget they ever actually owned it. Even professional athletes, who are some of the most talented and hardworking individuals on earth, rarely celebrate their mistakes, because they know that mistake will be broadcast a million times on ESPN SportsCenter. Even when we learn how to use our mistakes to help us grow, we don't usually want to do that in public, because it's scary admitting our mistakes, because we know what mistakes can do. They can be silly and meaningless, like touching our toes before our knees. But our mistakes can also be very serious. And the consequences of those mistakes can hurt ourselves or the people around us. Being honest about our mistakes, even the ones we made in the past, asks us to do something we usually refuse to do, and that's admit we were wrong. So we run away from being honest about our mistakes. We avoid facing the consequences that come up when we will admit we mess up. And we hide the vulnerability we need to show when we own these mistakes that we've made. In a world where we're supposed to present our very best self, owning our mistakes is a terrifying thing to do. But what would our lives look like if we admitted everything we got wrong? What if we owned our mistakes, these mistakes we made to our spouses, friends, and each others before we tried to hide them? What if we lived a life that proclaimed that our mistakes are supposed to be seen in the light, but not in a way that tried to avoid the consequences of our mistakes, but rather a life that acted like those consequences actually mattered? What would that life look like? Well, in some ways, that life might look a bit like John chapter 3. Because even though these verses are some of the most famous verses in all of the New Testament, their context is usually unknown. We forget that these verses came up during a conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, in the middle of the night, found Jesus alone. He showed up unannounced, and didn't even knock on the door asking for Jesus' permission to visit. Instead, Nicodemus just walked in and found Jesus already there. The two of them talked, and we get the sense that there's no one else in the room. So by the time we get to verse 3:16, we usually interpret this passage as if Jesus is offering Nicodemus a choice. Believe in me, make that right choice, and you'll have eternal life. We focus on the last part of 3:16, and we assume Nicodemus focused on it as well. But if he did do that, then Nicodemus made a mistake, because the Bible doesn't record him saying anything back to Jesus. Instead, the Bible lets us assume that Nicodemus, after hearing these words, just left. This guy who literally saw Jesus face to face walked away. Now, that feels on some level like it would be a mistake. If the point of this passage is to help us choose Jesus, then Nicodemus messed up. He vanishes from the story, and we never expect to hear from him again. And we don't until 2 years later. But this time, Nicodemus doesn't say a word. Instead, with the help of Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus takes Jesus down from the cross, and the two of them, almost silently, bury Jesus in the tomb. Nicodemus comes back near the end of the gospel according to John. So it seems like he did choose Jesus at some point. But Scripture never shows us that moment. We actually have no idea when Nicodemus chose Jesus. All we get in Nicodemus' story is this mistake and then the burial. And I wonder why that is. Why keep the mistake in? Because according to John, only Jesus and Nicodemus were in the room when John 3 happened. Now, Jesus might have told others what happened that night, but what if Nicodemus was the one who shared the story? Would we expect him to keep it just as it was? Now, most of us, I think, if we were in Nicodemus's sandals, would act totally differently. We would tell our friends and family that we followed Jesus way before it was cool. We would try to cover up whatever mistakes we made, and we would make sure that everyone knew when we made our choice. But if Nicodemus is the one who shared this story, he doesn't do any of that. He doesn't hide his mistake. Instead, Nicodemus, like Mr. Rogers, owned that mistake. And I think he did that because it was the first part of John 3:16 that mattered to him. What made all the difference to Nicodemus was that when he came out of the dark, he noticed that Jesus was already there. And when Nicodemus finally saw Jesus, he wasn't scolded or condemned or belittled by him. Instead, Jesus just listened. He answered the questions Nicodemus asked, and he let Nicodemus be exactly who he is. Jesus didn't force anything on Nicodemus, and he didn't ask for Nicodemus to make a choice right then and there. Instead, Jesus showed that God isn't focused only on that moment, or the moment that it takes for us to declare a choice we made. Our God, instead, is a God for every one of our moments, including when it feels like all we can do is make mistakes. The Jesus who met Nicodemus in the middle of the night is the same Jesus who meets us right now as we are. And that Jesus is here to carry us into a future where we don't have to hide the truth of who we are. A future where we can admit the mistakes we've made, and where we can live into the consequences honestly and faithfully. And this same Jesus promises to give us a new life, where we will, through his love, grow and become that person God wants us to be. Amen.